Walters.
All right. Brother Robbie Sipes said cameras made him nervous. I won't say everything that he said about the cameras. But anyway. All right, good to have you here this morning to do some Bible study. Go with me this morning, if you will, to the book of Colossians. I'm going to describe something this morning. You know, the last few weeks, we've been discussing the nature of man. What we're going to look at this morning is spiritual understanding. I've got it spelled correctly now. We're going to look at spiritual understanding. Something that I've learned and I'm growing in learning is the Bible is designed to the edification of the believer who will read it, who will take it, let it get into them, put it there, and doctrinally build upon what the Word of God is designed to do for you. You take that in, it will build you. So the Bible for us, and when I say that, all of it's for us, right? But the Bible to us, it starts out, we've got this foundational book of Romans. And the book of Romans puts you on a road. And I'm going to show you, hopefully, the best I can, how this thing is designed to work. When we come to a book like the book of Colossians, you're going to notice some things have changed. When you're back in Corinthians, you're back in Galatians, you see Paul's got these strong correctional messages to the Corinthians, and he's got these strong messages of reproof and correction for the Galatians as well. And then when you come to Colossians, you don't see it so strongly, although there's warnings, because obviously there's people there who are getting into some things, maybe have been led away in some things that Paul is trying to get them to understand. So the book, the way the Bible's laid out, and I know there's people who disagree, because they say the Bible's laid out in a way that this group over here had this, and this group over here had this. I believe Romans through Philemon is laid out to edify you, the believer. Okay? You get the foundational book of Romans, you get in Corinthians, and he's showing a group of people there who are living out of the flesh, carnality. Then you get to Galatians, he's showing a group of people there who are trying to correct things and improve upon themselves with the law, right? Then, when you come over into Ephesians, he's beginning to show you the body of Christ, in Christ, positionally, where we're seated. The body of Christ is being dealt with as a unit, as one, right? Then you go to Philippians, and he's trying to show you how we work all those things out together. Then you come to Colossians, and he is showing you the head of all things and his position in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Listen, if a man hasn't come through Romans and gotten that foundational doctrine correct, he has no business trying to teach out of Colossians, Ephesians, and Philippians and that. Right? All you're going to do is borrow words and passages that line up with your religious whatever you're in. But when you get the foundation laid in Romans, you come forth and you grow into the doctrine that's laid out in there, and then you get to Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, that house gets built doctrinally for you to be able to function according to the doctrine, but it's not you doing it, it's Christ and the Spirit of God doing it through you, right? That verse in Galatians 2:20, you can't get rid of that, man. It's so strong. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet it's not I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. For the life I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I frustrate not the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. See that? So Paul makes it clear that he has been crucified with Christ. And we're going to expound on some of that. So the reason going here this morning, we've been last month, we talked about the nature of man. Now we're going to talk about spiritual understanding, which cannot come from the natural man. It has to come from the spiritual book. right? I almost titled this The Nature of God's Word. But I was like, God's Word is not natural. It's supernatural. It's spiritual. So I stayed away from the word nature because of that very reason, right? This book is alive. And this book will go to life. It will go to life and live in you if you'll believe it. It'll work effectually in you. It'll bring you peace. It'll bring you comfort. It'll bring you assurance. It'll bring you even power. What do I mean when I say power? We're not talking about jumping over stuff. We're not talking about all that business. We're talking about it bring you power to live that functional life that God wants you to live. It'll live through you, right? And you can't do that with all these other programs that are out there. It's got to come from here. So go to Colossians in chapter 1. Long precursor, but I'm glad you hung in there with me. Let's start at verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled, watch, with knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. For what purpose, Paul? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See that? So to be filled. Now I think there's two verses that stick out to me in the book of Colossians. If I could get someone to take this fan and just turn it down that way I don't have to keep flipping back to Genesis, blowing the pages of the Bible all over the place. All right. So the two verses that I see that stick out to me in the book of Colossians are this. 1 and 9. Read 1 and 9 again. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Right? That's a key verse to this whole book. Now go and look at Colossians 4:12 with me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Watch. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So you've got two things going on there. Paul says in 1 and 9 that you be filled with all wisdom, spiritual understanding. That you might do what? That you might walk worthy, right? And then in 4:12, he says that you need to be filled so that you can do what? So that you can stand. And we heard some preaching on that from the book of Ephesians in the conference last week. But I need to get you to understand something. What the Word of God is designed to do, and it'll do it in you, and it'll do it for you, but what you've got to be careful of is not trying to help God, assist God, and making it happen. Other than studying and believing and taking in the Word of God, and then letting the love of Christ compel you, restrain you, propel you, that's what you're going to do from that point forward. It's nothing that we can do out of us. And so we had some books. When you're going on a highway, everybody can see that pretty good. You're going on a highway, you're looking for a destination, right? Well, our destination and our promises and what we have in the glory of this body, we work our way up to it. When we get up into Ephesians, we're going to see that stronger doctrine, right? Yeah. Folks, this down here starts off milk. This up here, we come into meat. All right? When you're going on a trip sometimes, you have exit points. And those roads will take you off like this. If anybody's ever driven much in Atlanta, some of those are non-return, right? You don't get off the exit and go across the bridge and come back. You get off the exit and you go for about 2 hours trying to find your way back, right? That's just the way the patterns are down there. Been there and done that. Got off the wrong exit and it's like, this ain't King. This ain't Winston-Salem. I can't go across the bridge and get back on. I got to go do some fancy driving to find the highway again, right? And just watch the signs. It'll tell you 30 minutes later you headed back to I-20, right? It's a little difficult. Here's what I want to show you. Paul, and I'm showing you this because you need to understand mature doctrine, okay? Paul is dealing with some people. On the left side here, they have exited this highway. They heard the truth. They heard about the grace of God, and they took an exit. They're no longer on this road. They're over here now, and they're trying to live like this right here. They're living off philosophy and mysticism. Philosophy is the wisdom of the world. Mysticism is trying to go into those things you know nothing about. Angelic beings and all this type stuff. Another spiritual realm. That's where you get a lot of magic stuff from. Spiritual witness in high places and heavenly places, right? So go back and look at 1 Corinthians. Let me show you this. Let me build on this. Because what is taught doctrinally, and I agree, needs to be worked out. I understand that, right? What we have to be careful of is wanting to fix things ourselves. Okay? And watch what Paul does with these Corinthians. On this highway that we're going, we're going to go from Romans to foundational doctrine. We're trying to work our way up to the book of Ephesians. On each side of the highway, there's an exit point. Over here, you've got the flesh and carnality, right? Carnal and immoral. Immorality in that church. Okay? They're functioning. He tells you how they're functioning. Watch what he says to them. 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. He starts it off, verse 1. And brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto what? Spiritual, but as unto what? Even as unto what? Babes. Now why? I have fed you with the milk. I gave you the foundational doctrine. I told you about God's grace. I told you about the gospel of your salvation. I gave you the basics. Right? And the reason I gave you the basics, I fed you with the milk and not with meat. For hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. See, these carnal Corinthians could not handle the meat of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. They're operating as babes, right? They're operating as babes because they're dividing themselves up to find their favorite preacher, right? And to nominate means to do what? To name, right? To name yourself something. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Jesus. I'm of Paul. And what does Paul say to that thing? Me and Apollos, we're nothing except laborers of the Lord. Don't let your faith rest in the wisdom of man. See? And that's what they're doing over there, philosophy, wisdom of man. Now see, I know that Colossians has got this in it as well, and I'm going to show you some stuff there. But you've got these two churches that are doing this. Then, on the right side, this exit over here took these people into legalism and asceticism. Now, some of you that started with us, as I said, very beginning, back in the first building, these words we used back then in teaching this very thing. What does this mean over here? Legalism is they're trying to fix themselves and prove on themselves by going after the law. Right? So that is law-minded over here in Galatians. They're trying to improve on what God is doing and has done through His Son by the Spirit, raising Him from the dead, giving them all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They're denying that for the law. What does Paul say to them? You've fallen from grace. Right? A lot of people say falling from grace means you fell from salvation. That's not what it means at all. It means you're fallen from the grace of God, which has been given unto you, and you're trying to supplant it or replace it with the law. All right? What that leads to is asceticism. Asceticism is a strong form of self-denial, trying to put away things of the flesh to get more righteous with God. We don't know anybody like that, do we? Right? So as you're headed from Romans to Ephesians, it's no accident that you've got these books here. This one over here being carnal flesh, immorality and all that, bad doctrine is going to lead to what? Bad behavior, right? Over here on this side, you got some people sincerely wanting to do the right thing by the law, but Paul is saying that's done away with. Listen to me, that's done away with. So when we get to the book of Ephesians, what should we not be dealing with anymore? We shouldn't be dealing with those two churches, right? We should be grown up into the doctrine. Well, there's so many people, and they are in the body of Christ. They've been saved, but they don't have a clue who they are. Now, here's the problem, folks. When I said Romans is the foundation, what books or chapters in the book of Romans do you think would have fixed this for all them? I'll show you. Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8. Watch this. This church over here is failing to look at itself as being dead to sin. This church over here is found to look at itself as being dead to the law. You see that? You've got one here that says, I'm not dead to sin, I'll just continue in sin. You got one over here that says, I need the law. He calls the Corinthians what? Babes. Right? All right, now look at Galatians chapter 3. Remember in the Gospels when Jesus said not to call a man a fool? Remember that? Watch what Paul starts off with, chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, right? Over here, you got babes. Yeah, babes do some foolish things, don't they? Your kid ever do foolish stuff? Right? Over here, you got what? You got foolish people. Why are they foolish, Paul? Read the verse. Who have bewitched you? And who has pulled witchcraft over your mind? Who has shown you the sleight of hand deceitfully to take you out of God's grace, put you into the law and under the law, and which did not pertain to you anyway? Why would you do that? Who bewitched you? Who tricked you? Who put the spell on you? Right? I know who did. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience took them to that. Right? Watch here. You foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now watch what he does in verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Right? Most of Christendom this morning, and this is a slippery slope, this is why we're teaching this. They get started out sometimes. Some of them don't even get started out right. They're told to go to the book of John, try to figure all that out. Then get over to Romans and find out where this guy Paul come from. And what in the world is he talking about? Well, you start them off wrong. Start off in the book of Romans. Nail down the foundational doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. That's done in the book of Romans. So then you get on the right road here. Then what happens is as you're on the right road and you're starting to see some things about truth, justification by faith through grace, Jesus Christ did it all I got to do is believe it and receive it, you get started off good. Then some preacher or teacher comes along and he tells you over here you're going to need some type of gift. He takes you off that exit ramp, gets you wrapped up in the gifts, and water baptism and speaking in tongues and healing people, right? He's going to take you off that way. He's got a good heart. He means well. Right? He in his mind, he thinks he's doing God a service. He gets you off to this exit over here. Then you get this group over here that says, hey, come on over here. You're going to need to do some things in order to be right with God. You're going to have to tithe. You're going to have to do this. You got to do that. You got to give 10%. You got to show up for every service. You got to do this. You got to do this. And what they're trying to do is make a show in the flesh so that they can improve on what God started in you. Folks, this is serious business. And I don't know how many of you are willing to do it. I am not willing to give up a day of grace to go back what I come out of. Amen. I am not doing it. By the grace of God, I'll not do it. Both of these roads, these are side ditches. Listen, it's a no return exit. You know the only thing you can do is find the error, do a U-turn, come back and get back on the road. That's what you got to do. If you find yourself over here trying to live after the law, you got to put the brakes on that thing, find you a driveway, back up, don't hit a mailbox in the process, turn around and come back and get on that road. Romans up to the book of Ephesians, right? You're going to have to if you're going to know what God is doing today and if you're going to have the riches of His grace. Paul said that he was preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know why they were unsearchable? Because they could not be found until Paul. So Paul comes, writes this letter to the Colossians, which he did not visit in the flesh. He writes them a letter. He tells them to share that letter as well with the Laodiceans. And what he's doing with that church, he is saying there is what? He's saying there's one head, and that head is Jesus Christ, right? And he's saying, now you look at me this morning, and you see my head. What's under my head? The rest of my body, right? If it wasn't, it'd be a freaky looking dude up here, right? Your head. And what he's telling that head or that body is to stay under the head. Hold up the head. It's Christ. In Him, you are complete, right? You don't need this over here with a spiritual gift to complete you. You don't need the law to complete you. You are complete in Christ. Keep the head, hold up the head, right? Keep the body under the head. You don't need any of that stuff. All right, now go to Colossians. Let me show you that. Some people start out the race, they're doing really well. And then somewhere in the midst, they either corrupt themselves or they get corrupted by a teacher or a preacher. And this thing becomes an exercise of the body versus the working of the Spirit of God and the Word of God in you effectually because you believe it. Right? So we're not able to look inside a man and see his motive, but God is. We're not able to look inside a man's heart and see it, but God is. Right? And so look here in... look here in chapter 2 of Colossians. And look down, let's start at verse 6. Alright, now watch, Paul is going to deal with some things here with the Colossians. Extremely important. Look at 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. How did you receive Christ? By grace through faith. How are you going to walk? By grace through faith, right? See that? Grace. Oh, so misunderstood. Grace is just something that God will do when you pray, and then He'll save you out of that, and then you go back to the law. No. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's what He is able to do for you freely because of what He gave up, what it cost Him, right? You see that? People say cheap grace. No. Cheap grace, my foot, it cost the Savior His life. Amen? There's nothing cheap about it. What's cheap is you bringing the law down, making it about that high like you can achieve it. That's what's cheap, right? You rob yourself of these blessings that are in the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians by thinking that you're somebody that you're not. That's why identity, Romans 6, 7, and 8, you have to nail down identity. That's the problem in churchianity is identity crisis. Nobody knows who they are in Christ, right? So you're going to walk by grace through faith. That's how you're going to walk, right? We're going to walk that way. Grace in me. Grace living out of me. Faith, I believe God, I hear God, I walk accordingly, right? Faith is what God said, folks. Faith ain't putting your foot on your brake pedal and this car is going to stop. You know, faith is believing what the Bible says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right, now watch what Paul does in 7. Rooted and built up in Him. In Him. Not religion, not the law, not flesh, not man's wisdom, but built up in who? Christ. Right? Now watch, he uses a word here that's going to be familiar. Watch. Built up in Him and established, not established, established in the faith. Remember Romans 16, 25? Now to Him the power to establish you, make you immovable, a fixture that's affirmed, you're set, you know, right? What did he say in 1:9? About knowledge of wisdom and spiritual understanding. You cannot get away from knowledge in this book if you're going to have anything in Christ that's going to work for you today. You better get knowledge. If you were going to go be a lawyer, you'd have to go get knowledge, would you not? You'd go to school, right? Do you want a doctor messing around inside your mortal body with scissors and instruments if he hadn't been to school for it? Yeah. You know what they call the guy who finished last place in his doctorate? Doctor. The guy that got horrible scores is still called doctor. All right, you might want a little discernment about doctors. The guy that finished at the top of his class, you know what they call him? Doctor. There's good ones and there's bad ones, right? But what I'm telling you is this. You've got to have knowledge in you, working in you. Where do we say it comes in at? It starts here, it works its way here, it works its way out, right? You with me? All right, now watch what he does. Rooted and built up, established in what? Did he say in faith or the faith? The faith. The faith. What faith are we talking about, Paul? The faith delivered unto Paul. Remember, Paul says, I'm a wise master builder. It was committed unto Paul, right? That there be no other foundation than what? Which was laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. But Paul built on that foundation according to the revelation of mystery and not according to prophecy, right? He built up on that foundation the unsearchable riches of Christ. The foundation was laid with Jesus Christ. And then Paul, the wise master builder, gives you the material to build up that spiritual house. Well, you know what happens? People get hung up because I need to feel something in me when I go to church. I need a spiritual awakening, you know? Or I need to get over here and get really bound down by this law so that I can show everybody how special I am because I don't do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, right? And that's what you get right here, folks, is you'll end up with a Pharisee. As Marshall said, pharisaical, right? You get a Pharisee. Now, Marshall said, he used a great analogy. He said, it's the dog at your feet is the one that's going to win the fight. I like that, right? You feed this dog out here on either side, you're going to lose the fight in here on that road. You've got to have your mind made up. I'm not going to let man have my mind. I'm not going to let the devil have my mind. I'm going to stay in the book, continue to study it, learn it, rightly divide it, continue to grow in that faith, right? That's what Paul tells them. Now watch what he tells them to do here. Verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after what?
Christ.
All right, look back here. I want to get a word in your mind real quick. Beware lest any man spoil you. What do we think about when we hear that word? Some meat, some food, some milk. That's not what that word means. That word means let no man rob you. Let no man take away from you. You see that when you go back in the Old Testament. They had a war. They took the spoils of the city. They robbed. They took away what was left from that war. Okay? I'm not going to take you back there. You can go back and look at it. Let me give you the verses, chapter. You can see it all over. Look up the word spoil, but you can go back and see it. I thought I had it written down for you. Guess not. I lied to you. Hopefully I didn't spoil you. There's some Old Testament passages talking about the spoils. You need to see the word spoil as being somebody robbing you. How are they going to rob you? All right, let me show you. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. What is philosophy? That's worldly wisdom. Go back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to see how the Corinthians were getting spoiled. First Corinthians chapter 2, look down at verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What were the Corinthians doing? They were dividing themselves up amongst men. They were dividing the body to say, I'm going to go with that guy, and I'm going to go with this guy, and I'm going to go with that guy, not seeing that the body was one, right? And we did not need to be divided up into denominations, but we needed to be one body. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, right? One body, one Lord and Father of us all, right? You see all those things? It's a unity. of one when we're talking about this church, the body of Christ. So what Paul is saying to Colossians, don't get pulled away after the philosophy of men. Don't go after that shiny smile and some guy using big enticing words. Don't get caught up into that. Stay away from that. It will spoil you. It will rob you. Do you know how many people this morning are sitting under a dear beloved pastor that they've been under for years because he's brilliant, he looks the part, he walks the part, but he is robbing them of their spiritual identity by not understanding the foundational doctrine of the book of Romans, not understanding that God made divisions in the Bible. We need to do the same thing where God made those divisions, and that they're not back here under a time past program, but they should be on the road to Romans heading up to Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All I ever heard in those churches, man, is when they could get Paul to agree with Peter. That's all I ever heard out of those churches. We'll go over here and get a little bit of Paul because it agrees with Peter. Well, Paul's my apostle. He's the one that God sent to me, right? And I'm not going to deny that, folks, because that's what the Bible says. And he is the one telling these Colossians, don't get caught up in man's wisdom, that philosophy. Now go back and look at Colossians. Look at vain deceit. See that? It's vanity. Man's wisdom is vanity. God's wisdom is power. You see the difference in those two things? In the world, they say knowledge is power. Well, it is to a secular standpoint. Man has great knowledge. He can do great things according to the world. But man with great power in the world can do nothing in understanding the supernatural book that God gave us to read and study. Because a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, it's God's wisdom that we should be seeking. Now watch what he says. After the tradition of men. Well, the tradition of men is what? All those carnal things that they've held on to. That's what he uses in the next, what he says. After the rudiments of the world. That is the beginning of such things. The rudiments are the first oracles of those things that were being taught. And Paul is saying, stay away from that. If you get locked into that, what that's going to do is it's going to rob you. It's going to take away the spiritual blessings that you have in Christ. But here's the danger of it. Listen to me closely. When you substitute things like water baptism, tithing, law, all those things, when you substitute those things for what we have in the Word of God taught to us through our apostle, you know what you're doing? You're denying the preeminence of Jesus Christ. You're denying that He is the head and the Godhead complete. You're denying that you're complete in Him. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to do what the legalists were doing over in Galatians, and you're trying to improve upon the flesh by the law, not considering what God has done through the Spirit. That's blasphemy. To sit and tell God Almighty, who put His Son on a cross to die for your sin according to Scripture, buried, raised again the third day according to Scripture, that now I need to add something out of my flesh to make that perfect, that is blasphemy. That's absolute blasphemy. I don't care what you say, that's blasphemy. Well, you can't have grace alone. Look at what happened to the Corinthians. You know what? Paul didn't call them foolish, he called them foolish. They were carnal. Write it down. Get it straight. So were they. You got two sides of the aisle, folks. Yeah, don't think over here because you're carnal that you can run over here and get it fixed. You better get on this road right here, learn your identity and track it all the way up to the book of Ephesians. And you better get that mature doctrine down in you. All right? Most people don't have it. Let's just be honest. I didn't always, and I'm still growing in it. Faith does not grow. You grow in faith. Grace does not grow. You grow in grace. Right? Jesus Christ is not going to change and come over and wipe your mouth like a babe. Right? Every time you spit up. What He's telling you to do is grow up. Is what He's telling you to do. And you grow up by going from milk to meat. Right? Look at the book of Hebrews. I think I've got this written down here. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Well, you go to Hebrews, that's not us. Well, we can read it. And watch what he tells these folks here in Hebrews, and this can be applied to you today as well. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. 5 and 12, I said it. I know I didn't. I'm horrible at that. In my mind, I said it. That's all that matters. 5 and 12. 5 and 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need for milk. Who has a need for milk? Right? We got 4 little kittens under my porch. They have a need for milk. Right? One day they're going to have a need for food. I guess I'm going to end up feeding them, right? But you have a need for milk. A babe has a need for milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a what? He's a babe. You see that? Do we know of any babes? Absolutely, we know of babes. All right. We see that the Corinthians couldn't handle the meat because they were babes. I want to look here at the end of this thing. I want to look at these 4 points, and then we're going to close the service this morning. I've got much more, but I'm not going to make you go through that. Actually, I might. Real quick, go to Ephesians. What's the answer to it? Well, let's go find the answer. Amazingly, we go to another mature book to find the answer. His wisdom is so awesome. This in here, folks, is designed. It's designed to spiritually build you up. You are the house that God is building. And that house has to be built with the right doctrine. Over and over again, it has to be built with that doctrine. I know it's fun to go to church and clap our hands. I know it's fun to go and do all those things. But man, I don't find fun in my Bible. Right? What I find in the Bible is a pattern. When I get to Romans, I find a pattern that grows and it builds up this spiritual house. And this is what we're going to have, folks, in that house when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what we're going to have. It's what's in that house. Right? Is it going to burn or is it going to stand? Right? The answer for the issues plaguing these people back here, plaguing churchianity, is found in the book of Ephesians. Go to 1. Chapter 1. Remember the word knowledge, remember the word wisdom, right? We're talking about God and having knowledge of God to a perfect man, a complete man, and we're talking about wisdom, we're talking about God's wisdom. So watch. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom. See that? The little s, that's your spirit. The spirit of wisdom. Your spirit be opened up to the wisdom of God and the revelation and the knowledge of what? In Him. You see that? Chapter 1, verse 17. Now look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. See that? Eyes open. Spiritual eyes open. Wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, the revelation of God, what He's put in this book about His Son Jesus Christ, how He's working today, His will. That's what you need. That's what'll keep you off the exit ramp, getting carried away. All right? Making that statement, go look at Ephesians 4. Watch verse 13. Keep your mind on the word knowledge. Watch. Till we all come in the unity of faith and to the knowledge of what? The Son of God. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about whatever wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See that? What's the answer? Coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the proper way. That knowledge, that pattern of knowledge, it starts with Romans for you. It works its way out through Paul's epistles. Right? Consider what I say in the Lord, give thee understanding in all things. That which was written aforetime is written for your understanding. So now we get this down pat, know who we are in Christ. We're in Christ here. We're not under the law here. We have functional life here. Romans 6, 7, and 8. Understand, it's an identity issue in the Word of God. You've got to know who you are. All right? So I'm finishing off this morning. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 18. 3 and 18. 4 and 18, I'm sorry. 4 and 18. Look at verse 17 first. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's lack of knowledge in the mind and in the heart. And it's created, like we talked on the nature of man, when we take in the wrong thing. Now go over and look at 3 and 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So there's some filling up that has to happen in a believer. And it's not Sunday school curriculum. It's not, let's go get our thing out of Dr. Seuss's book, Dr. Bottlestopper's book. It's about going to the Word of God, understanding where you get your mail, getting that doctrine built up in you to Christ be formed in you is what Paul said to the Galatians, right? Christ being formed in you, how? By the Word of God, by the Word of truth, all right? So hopefully you're getting some understanding because we're going to be in this stuff more and more and more, those three epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, because we can go elementary all day long, I'm not Israel, and you know, water baptism, and bang, all that. You need to advance into who you are. Right? You need to know who you are, who Christ has made you, and what you have because of that position. Right? All right, with that being said, let us pray, and then we'll go off camera. Father, we're so grateful for this day. We're so grateful for another opportunity to come and fellowship over thy word. We pray today, Lord, for somebody here or somebody listening that's never trusted your Son as their Savior, that today they would believe in their heart by faith how that Christ died for their sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried, and raised the third day according to the Scriptures to save and justify them freely of all that they've ever done. That they would believe that today and trust Christ by faith in grace alone today. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all that you have done in Christ, by Christ, for us in Christ. With all praise, honor, and glory, we say amen in the name of Jesus. Amen.